Welcome everybody to the Sleeper Wire Show. I am your host, Professor Chris, and today we have a very special show that is all about our favorite fantasy football app, the Sleeper app. And first, I want to introduce our special guest, Nan, the CEO of Sleeper. You may recognize him as Tobra Peels on the app. Nan, how's it going, man?
Good, good. Thanks for having me back on the podcast, Chris. Really, really glad to join you and Livy on this show.
Yeah, great to have you back on the show. I think we do this every single offseason to maybe get some sneak peeks as to what's coming the next season. I also, as you just mentioned, have one of the moderators of the Sleeper app. And if you use Sleeper, you definitely recognize his name, Livy, or L-I-V-I. I said Livy, apparently it's Livy.
That's me, same thing.
Basically, super glad to have you, man. Basically, any alert that gets pushed, it's either by Livy or Prophet Hoos. So, you've certainly seen his name. If you look at the top of pretty much any alert in Sleeper, you're going to see one of those two names. Nan, got a bunch of questions for you. Do you mind if we go ahead and just jump in here?
No, let's do it. Let's get it. And all right. Even before we do that, Livy's the fastest trigger in the West. Those alerts are blazing fast. So thank you for all of that.
Just mind you guys, if we get an alert, I'm going to have to log off for a second, hit that alert button, come back. Just saying.
Yeah.
I do have to say, when we first got the ability to push alerts, I tried to do it, and then I was like, I'm just not fast enough. I'm just going to let the other guys take care of it. Let's jump into this. So, Nan, you at Sleeper, you guys recently closed a $20 million Series B funding round, which is huge. Can you elaborate what a Series B funding round is for the people who might not know?
Sure. So we're a startup based out of California, and typically what happens in a startup that is that you develop a product and you grow a team and you continue to invest into the infrastructure of it as it continues to scale, with the ultimate goal of turning it into a business. And along the way, you attract investors who support that mission that allow you to kind of make payroll, hire, bring on engineering talent, design talent, support the server costs of the business. And a Series B is just a round that basically it gets priced as like Series Seed, Series A, Series B, and so on, of investors coming in to support that mission. This is huge for us because we've been growing very, very rapidly over the past 2 years. But it didn't start from like a point of just overnight success. It was a lot of nights and weekends and starting out of a garage and bootstrapping it and then trying to attract a little bit of capital in our seed round and our Series A to be able to support new product launches. And the Series B finally gives us enough ammo to really roll out the platform into other sports. Up until now, we've only been football, but this allows us to really expand engineering and development capabilities to attack basketball, soccer, League of Legends, eventually baseball, Levy.
All right.
So that we can continue to offer the best in class products for users on the platform. So we're really excited. I think the thing that really attracted the investors into this round was that Sleeper really has built a really sticky and high engagement and rapidly growing app in sports. Over the past few years, I believe we're the fastest organically growing one in the US, period.
That's awesome.
Which has been phenomenal to see. Yeah. And a lot of it is just kind of rededication into building a better product. And we continually release new features every single month. We're thinking about how do we push the new envelope to bring a better experience to our user base. And so this fundraise really just allows us to continue to do that. And so we're adding folks on the design team. We're adding folks on the engineering team really just to expand into other sports. And that coincides with our first new kind of product in esports as well, which we're launching at the end of the month.
We will get into that and some of the features here in just a little bit. I do have some questions for that. But next, it's more of like a personal feeling question. So some of your investors, Kevin Durant, Juju Smith-Schuster, Baron Davis, the CEO of Twitch, Kevin Lin. First off, have you met all these people in person?
I've met most of them in person.
Okay.
KD, I haven't yet because he's been rehabbing, but eventually I will. I'm actually hopping on to talk to his partner, Rich, next week on one of their podcasts. So
that's pretty sweet.
Well, I've met Rich in person.
What's it like to get a call from Baron Davis saying he wants to be a part of it and that he also got his mom to play in a fantasy league on Sleeper?
That was one of the most surreal moments I think I've ever had. Baron, first of all, is just an incredible, incredible, incredible human being. And the first time he reached out was in our app and was like, hey, you know, who's involved with Sleeper? Want to get in touch with them? This is Baron Davis. And you know how our app, I don't want him to get inundated. So like, I can't publicly disclose that. But
yeah, I know. I just
but you know how we have usernames and not real names. I actually thought it was an online troll because I get trolled a lot on the platform to the point where my inbox is just flooded with stuff. And so I ignored it, and I didn't realize that it was actually him. And a couple of weeks later, I get an inbox email in LinkedIn from one of his associates saying that they were a part of Baron's investment arm and wanted to get in touch to talk about what we were building and strategy and all that kind of stuff. And so I hopped on the phone with Baron. We had a really, really great call. And then I flew down to LA and I had breakfast with him and his kids. And we just connected at a personal level. And he is one of the nicest guys. Like you would not know if you met him for the first time that he was a multi-time NBA all-star, like one of the most athletic dunkers ever. He's just so down to earth.
Yeah.
And so we had breakfast together. Yeah. And he was
a star.
He's awesome. He's awesome. He's an all-star. And so we had breakfast and then continued the conversation. And then ultimately he ended up deciding to invest and we became pretty good friends. And so Baron actually had me out to NBA All-Star Weekend this year to help out with some initiatives he's doing on the digital media and investing side. And he's all about giving back. And so he has a lot of programs that really support entrepreneurs and startups and community, the community in LA. So like last week he was out in LA handing out laptops to underprivileged kids. He's got the Black Santa organization. And so like just everything he does is about how he can use his platform to make people around him better. And that was just super cool to see. And so we're really lucky to have him as an investor. The other thing that he did was like, we were in All-Star Weekend. And if you've ever been to like an all-star city when it's happening, it is a zoo and everything is impossible to get into. And he had invited me to join him on All-Star Sunday night to go watch the game. But I had a friend who was with me in Chicago, as well, that I had invited along to do some business development work, and she didn't have a ticket. And so I told Baron that I didn't feel right kind of joining him at the game. And he spent his afternoon trying to find me a ticket for my friend to join. So that's the type of person he is. And so like, just really, really glad to have him as an investor, a friend, a supporter, a Sleeper. And you'll see more of like the collaboration side, because he's doing some really interesting stuff on his digital media property, Slick. And, shout out to what they're doing over there, but I think there's going to be a lot more partnerships, and you'll see Sleeper in mainstream and with athletes quite often going forward.
All right.
I actually had a Baron Davis video. I think it was a video. I can't remember. It might have just been instructions back in the 90s. I got it from Sports Illustrated for Kids. It was learn how to jump higher so you can dunk like Baron Davis kind of thing. It just had a bunch of like workouts, like setting down a rope and like jumping back and forth, and like basically just a lot of jumping stuff.
The prologue to that muscles. Video was written by Andre Kirilenko.
Oh man, Kirilenko. Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. If I'm with my friend and I get like Baron Davis call me and say, "Hey, come down for All Star Weekend," I'll look at my friend and say, "Peace," and I'll go to that All Star. No way, I wouldn't go.
Yeah.
All right, so you guys launched fantasy leagues in 2018. They've been hugely successful.
Yes.
You recently passed 1 million active users. Did this grow faster than you anticipated?
I think it grew exactly how we anticipated, believe it or not. We actually set out projections for our investors on how we thought these leagues would grow. And we were within 5% of our projections from the beginning. And really, it came down to like how these leagues behave. And at the end of the day, we realized that fantasy leagues are really just about your friends and your college classmates and your coworkers. And the intent to play in fantasy leagues is to join these groups of 10 to 12 people. So if you could create a product that has that flywheel effect, then every league or every person that downloads it is going to invite 11 other people to join them. And so you can almost like use that as a math equation to solve how this platform will scale based on the number of downloads that you get and the conversion rates that you can get on the product. And so that's kind of why we decided to build it. The alerts piece was great, and we have like an amazing community there. But in 2018, the decision to do leagues really helped bring a lot more people into what we were doing on the community as a platform, because now they can do it with their friends.
Yeah, it's just gotten huge. And you know, I have this as a couple bullet points down, but I guess I'll go ahead and tackle this here. I've got to say that almost every single post I see in Facebook about trades is a screenshot from Sleeper. I don't see ones, very rarely see them. Yeah, from ESPN, Yahoo, or NFL, or MFL, or CBS. I rarely see those. New posts with league invites almost always say that the league's going to be on Sleeper. You guys are crushing it. So I don't have a question for this. I just wanted to let you know what it looks like from the perspective of an active user and one of the analysts on the app. You guys are killing it, man.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And I think it's only going to increase as we continue to like add more sports and more ways to hang out. And as we continue to improve the product, ultimately, like our goal was to make the product accessible. And to be visual and immersive and not just like outdated and stats and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And so by focusing on design, it makes it like, I'm proud of my team. I want to share it. I want to showcase it.
And so, maybe Baron Davis's mom is going to get some other NBA all-star moms together and just, you know, really grow Sleeper. Just
That would be awesome. It's funny you say that though, but like, one of the stats that we look at is like, how does our demographic on the app break out? And believe it or not, there's like a large and growing number of kind of younger audiences on our platform as well as females. And so your average fantasy app in the market has about a 10% female to male ratio. Sleeper is at 32% and growing, actually. And a lot of it is just trying to make it much more accessible, readily, easily available for somebody to pick up and start a league on. And you guys have all been commissioners before, so you just think about it from a commissioner's perspective. When you set up a league every single year, who do you invite? You usually invite people you know have already played before, because walking somebody through how to play fantasy is the last thing on your mind. You don't want to spend 45 minutes teaching them and then helping them onboard on a new app. And so a lot of our effort on development was spent on how do we create that league invite flow and that setup process to take a minute for the league commissioner to set up and to automate like the reminders for people to join these leagues. How do we make stats color coded so people can see relative strength of the position? How do we do the trending list so that it can recommend players to pick up, really just to help, you know, people who want to play but haven't played before get involved in the sport itself. And so that's how we've been able to grow the market, really.
Another very big advantage to Sleeper is, let's say you want to do a mock draft. You know, you would have to leave, you know, an app, go to Fantasy Calculator or one of these random websites, mock there. Now on Sleeper, you could honestly just mock there. If you want, you could convert it to a league. You've got so many different options with it. You can change the settings. You can mess around with it. Pretty much do whatever you want on it.
Right. And you can go into the community and ask questions if you don't want to like go research it. And there's people coming in and providing advice. You can go into the alerts that Livy's pushing and really stay up to date on what's happening in the league. And so there's just so much going on that reinforces this approachability for the product, so that a first time user who wants to get into sports doesn't have trouble picking it up. And a commissioner can open up their invite pool to invite anybody to play. And so if you want your grandma to play, you can invite your grandma and she'll be able to pick it up.
Yeah. Well, and it's also the easiest fantasy app to sign up for to get started and go.
Yep.
So last year we, at SleeperWire, we went to the SportsCon, the fantasy football convention in Dallas, and we had a live draft party, and we had three live drafts going at the same time. The one that I commissioned, they were all run on Sleeper. And six of the people who were assigned to be in my league hadn't heard of Sleeper, but it took all of a minute for them to download the app and create a username and join the league. And we actually had four of the 10 people in the league were women.
Awesome.
Which was pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Now, a big change in Sleeper, you already talked about this, the new League of Legends esports fantasy leagues that are going to start soon. What was the motivation to do League of Legends fantasy leagues?
Yeah, so it always been on our roadmap. So the way we think about what we're building on Sleeper is sports and esports ultimately have the same fundamental like desire, a base desire that a user has. It's how do I use this to stay in touch with my friends? How do I use it as an excuse to hang out? And what we've built is essentially games that you can play with your friends on a messenger platform. And we've been actually play testing and designing our League of Legends product for over the past year, trying to get the game balance, the tweaks, the scoring settings, all that kind of stuff right. And it really comes down to like our passion areas. 2K Sports, one of my co-founders is a like a diamond level Dolphins League of Legends player. Yeah, he's a Dolphins fan, but he's also a diamond League of Legends player. Faying X is a almost pro level Dota player. And so for us, we love sports. We also love esports, and we have a unique way to really bring a fantasy offering into a large and growing category that has 100 million players. League of Legends has 100 million players globally. And so it is a massive, massive sport that we'd be like dumb to ignore. And it was originally actually farther down in the product roadmap. We had planned to do League of Legends a year from now. And we're focusing this year on basketball, college basketball with the March Madness, and then eventually soccer, EPL. But obviously with COVID, live sports got canceled. And so
right.
like it doesn't make sense to try to continue to push, say, a March Madness product when March Madness didn't exist, or to try to like fit an NBA product into the season when we don't have any clarity on when NBA is coming back. And so all we could do is how do we create a product that allows our users to have fun in a world with shelter in place and stay in touch with their friends? And so the focus we did was how do we improve the chat on our platform? So we rolled out voice chat, which you guys saw over the past 2 weeks. So right. people can stay in touch easier and leave voice memos and joke around and hear each other. We're going to be doubling down on the draft experience for football for when it resumes. So in case NFL doesn't resume and people like on time and you can't do physical draft parties at people's homes, we're going to make it much, much easier for you guys to have a real kind of in-person feel. I won't say too much more about it, but to have a much more social way to draft come the fall. And then also, you know, in the absence of sports, how do we create a way to hang out over esports? And so League of Legends was just a byproduct of all of those things combined.
That's pretty awesome, man. So what are some new features coming out this season for football?
Yeah, so we're working on a whole bunch of stuff. Like we've got a giant, giant list of feature requests from users.
You guys always do.
from last year. And we just looked through it, and every single year we kind of look at the number of requests, the time it takes, and we scope out the work to try to get a lot of this stuff done. And there's just stuff that we'll continue to improve over time. It's things like how do we adapt to the new environment to make sure that people can still have their drafts and have fun? And we're working on features around that. We're working on features around trade block. That was a really frequently requested feature from a lot of users, and simplifying the trade flow so that people can have more multi-team dynamic trades and be able to like counter offer and all that kind of stuff. We're doing a lot of like stuff around at least the foundational work for auction. Auction just takes a long time to do because it's a completely new game engine. And if you release it, you got to make sure it's right because it's somebody's investment over like a 5-month period to play in these leagues. And so it's not something we can rush out, but we're making progress on that to try to figure out, you know, how do we build the foundational layer to be able to handle an auction draft? Because eventually we'll want to roll that out for other sports as well. And so we're continuing development across all verticals. We're doing football development. We're doing basketball development. We're doing March Madness development. We're doing esports development. And that's why the fundraising is necessary. Like when you get to 1 million users, the server costs alone go like skyrocket to the point where like we can no longer afford it out of pocket. It's impossible for us to run a business that way. But also we were we were a small team and we couldn't build multiple products. We just couldn't offer multi-sports out of the gate. But this fundraising now allows us to be, by the end of the year, we'll have 3 sports on the platform and we'll be international.
What are the 3 sports?
It'll be esports with League of Legends and it'll be NBA.
Nice.
And then a football. And then by next year we'll have college basketball for March Madness. We'll probably have soccer and then maybe one other sport. It could be baseball, it could be hockey, could be another esport.
Could be Rocket League.
Probably not Rocket League. If anything, for esports it'd be like Valorant or CSGO. Some of the bigger ones.
Right.
But I mean, ultimately it's going to come down to like where we see a lot of the user requests and the demand for the product, and if we're uniquely positioned to solve the gameplay behind it. So basketball was a natural one for us to do because there's more basketball fans globally than there are football fans. That's just a fact. But
yeah,
NBA fantasy is relatively small compared to NFL fantasy.
Oh yeah.
Because that the current gameplay is just broken. It doesn't retain users like week over week, except for like super duper duper diehard statisticians. The gameplay is just not balanced. After like the draft, everybody looks forward to and has fun, but like week four, you already know who's won the league. It's not even fun to stay on yeah. the league past that. So how do we reintroduce an element where the game is more balanced? There's more strategy behind decision making. So the start sit decision on the weekly games is one of those tweaks we made. And so we're trying to grow a platform that has the ability to reach not just a million, but go from here and be 100 million fans on the platform. And at which point we will be the biggest sports app in the world.
All right.
Yeah, you are well on your way, man. One last question specifically for you. So I've been around, at least using Sleeper, since it was Sleeperbot, and you were just the draft boards, yeah. or you were strictly just the forums, whereas when someone posted something, yours got moved down and down and then back up and then back down
yeah.
since those days. And that's been, I think, probably, what, 2014 or 15 is when I started using
2015,
it? What has been your favorite change over the history of Sleeper?
It's clearly the leagues. I think for me, I'm competitive by nature, and it's always something that we wanted to do. I don't know if I shared this with you guys, but the backstory with how our team came together is that we've all been friends for like some of us 30 plus years, and our fantasy leagues have been around for 17, 18, 19 years with roughly the same cast of characters. And that's the way we stay in touch. That's what our friendship is about. Every single year, we look forward to smack talking each other, drafting, and like checking up on each other's families. And the moment we built that into our own product and could define that experience that we've always wanted was the aha moment that really had this company take off. It was like, it was clear that it was coming from a place of passion. And we were building features that, you know, a lot of other sports fans, we realized were just like us. That we love the sport because it was social and it's fun. And so that was kind of an inflection point where we were like, I think this is it, guys. This is the thing that's going to really, really just get millions of people on our platform and offer them a great, great experience that they're missing. And so for me, that's the singular kind of feature, if you will, that really, really defined where we've come.
So, Livy, I got a question for you now. Ooh. So you've been a moderator and I've been an analyst on the app for about 3 years, I think it is, from way back when it was called Sleeperbot and when it was called the Blitz. So before Sleeper, before the leagues, what's it like for you to be a part of this, Josh?
Oh, man. So I've been on this app for about maybe 13 years and it was called the Blitz. And I remember I would actually text Nan an alert that I would get to my phone from Twitter or whatever. And Nan would have to like send it out, and 2 seconds later, I would get that alert on my phone. And then slowly, slowly, you know, me and Nan started to talk, and we became friends. And he's like, "Hey, look, we really know your stuff. We want you to come on to Sleeper. You know, you could become a moderator and help the community." I said, "That's an honor, and I would love to." I remember it was completely revolutionized to what it is now. It's a whole different ballgame. There were no leagues back then. It was just alerts and chat. When you go in, somebody sends out an alert, you talk, and that's it. No other, you're like right now, I could go on Sleeper and search any channel I want for MLB, NFL, whatever I want. I could just go on the channels and search what I want. I can get advice there. I could do whatever I want. Back then it was totally different. Now it's, you know,
we didn't even have a mobile app.
Yeah, you guys didn't have a mobile app back then.
Started with a website.
You were a website, yep.
Yeah. And it was actually 2K and TKO, and they were doing it as a passion project while they were still working, early days, to help themselves get Sleeper alerts and to win our league. And so that's actually what happened. And believe it or not, I was like, "What the fuck? How are you guys getting these like pickups much faster than me?"
Oh, I got that old.
So I was on the receiving was on the receiving end of losing these leagues because of Sleeper from the early days. Oh, man.
It happens to me all the time. I get news first, obviously, because I'm a moderator. So, like, I have to decide what gets sent out, what doesn't. So once I send it out, they're like, well, Livy, how'd you get that so fast? I'm like, dude, Sleeper app. Like, it's that simple. Yeah, download the app and you'll get it. Like, just as fast as I do. And it's honest.
Yeah. I will say, Hoos does something kind of shady. He in the leagues that I'm in with him, and I know he does this because I'm in some of these leagues, the hidden alert will come in to the analysts and moderators, and Hoos will make a move before pushing the alert.
That's the perks of the role, man. Like,
I do that
he'll
too.
Take that extra that 7 seconds to make his move real quick and then push it.
This is a case of if you do the time, you're entitled to the crime, I guess, or whatever it is.
I do that too.
Yeah,
all the
that's
time.
Funny though. That's hilarious.
So we don't have too much time with you. So I want to get to some questions that we asked some Sleeper users to come up with to ask you today, if that's cool.
Sure, we can go a little bit over too. So like if you need a little bit extra.
Yeah. Sure. 2 hours left. All right, there we go. So Gloriously asks, have you thought about adding a comparison tool for players to help when trading? So I assume he means things like trade calculators.
Potentially, yeah. So one of the things we're working on this offseason is this concept of add-ons. And on the right panel where the scoreboard is going to be a bunch of different widgets that people kind of add as value-added decision-making tools and enhancers to their league experience. And so one of them could be a trade calculator. We're going through that list of feature requests. This has been requested before and really just kind of like triage. Mm-hmm. We'll go through and check through based on kind of the amount of demand and like the time it takes to build it and start adding a bunch of this stuff into the platform.
If I could just add one thing that makes Sleeper completely different than any other sports app, is if I want, like you just brought up a trade calculator. If I go on Google and I type in trade calculator, I'm going to have maybe a bunch of websites. And if I click on them, it's going to say pay $5 for a subscription. Everything on the Sleeper app is 100% free. There's absolutely no fee to the app. There's nothing. You get updates. You get alerts. You see scores. You see game day. This is no other app in the world has it. No.
Yeah.
App.
And we've also waited. That's a good point, Livy. And I think we've also avoided like banner ads and all that kind of stuff in the platform because ultimately, like what we're trying to build at Sleeper is a product that we would use as fans ourselves.
Yeah, because there's no clutter.
And without that, like, and like if I had a product that was completely cluttered, it would just detract from that experience, even though it would help us monetize. Like, that's always the struggle. Mm-hmm. And I also don't believe in like gating kind of features that help people win, like pay to win. Mm-hmm. That kills the spirit of what a fantasy league is. It should inherently be free and fair to play, and then we let people kind of do what they want with their league fees.
Yeah, exactly.
And off the platform. And so that's kind of what we're doing, and that's one of the reasons why we introduced like the like digital mascots system, because it's an opt-in purchase that enhances the experience. It gives you live play-by-plays. It allows you to taunt your friends in chat, and it adds like a little bit of levity and lightness to otherwise just a bunch of numbers moving around on the page. And there's some really interesting stuff we're about to do with it this year too, that'll kick it up another notch. That'll make it much, much, much more immersive. And so last year we saw really good user adoption of it actually. And so we're doubling down. We hired an art team to really animate these mascots, and then we're working on some really interesting IP discussions that could really kick it up another notch and gamify the experience.
And the moderators got dibs on these new mascots, right?
For sure.
Perks of being a mod.
Flash Granger asks, how about counter trade functionality? And this is probably the thing I would like to see most when it comes into leagues. When you get a trade offer, you want to be able to, you know, decline and counter rather than just decline and then have to go back in and reset up a new trade.
That one is in the works.
Also, that one's
one of the,
a feature.
Yep,
go ahead.
I was saying that and like trade block is kind of a part of the development process and how we're rethinking through the whole trade flow. Clearly that's an area that like could use a little bit of improvement. And so we're working on that feature.
What about a sort of text box where you can include the reason that you decline a trade? For a reason for decline? Because I know ESPN has that. Yahoo has that.
I got a comment on
it. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, I know.
Chris,
yeah.
we can't say that. Come on.
No, I'm just kidding. So what we did instead of actually appending the chat to a specific action is we lifted the chat up in terms of priority on the app itself. So we redesigned the entire left panel this year. So you can reorganize your leagues based on priority, but we also lifted the group chats that you have in your leagues into its separate inbox. And the thesis was that when I was doing my trades in the past, I would have to click out of the group chat, click into the inbox, click into the group chat, and then type what I wanted to type. And now your group chat is one click away at any given point, and your one-on-one chat is also one click away at any given point. And so hopefully that alleviates a lot of the communication issues. At a much more macro level than just solving it for one unique case.
Yeah. And that's really what it would be, the reason for, you know, declining a trade.
Yeah.
The counter trade, just streamlining that. That sounds awesome. Chubb Prefers TE asks, what do you think of the Marlon Mack jokes? And we talked about this last year when we had you on the show. I think a lot of the moderators way overreact when they ban Marlon Mack. Jokes. How does this affect Marlon Mack? I honestly don't think it's that big of a deal. Some moderators do. I know, Livy, you think it's a big deal. Nan, how do you feel about them?
Does it affect Marlon Mack?
Yeah.
I'm about to ban you. You're banned from the app.
I think anytime there's like a community on a sports app, you have to find the right balance between like outright trolling, which I think is like racism and death threats and that kind of stuff, where with like humor and levity. And sometimes it's just really hard to handle. And I feel, because Livy and Hoos and all of our moderators on the platform have a tremendous job to really like make sure that things don't get super out of control. Because when you have a million people jumping into alerts, you have people who want to pee in the pool. Like, it just happens. And when one person does it, a lot of people kind of have sheep thinking, and they'll just jump on and echo that like first comment. And that's when it becomes a wall of this text. And there's almost nothing you can do at scale to be able to stop that, unless you build AI into your platform to be able to combat it, because it's real time. But at the end of the day, we just need to separate like what the intent of the user is. And I think with the Marlon Mack jokes, the intent of the users is to like just have fun and hang out and emote and to really just let loose. It's no different than like if somebody scored a touchdown and you just jumped up and, you know, like threw your beer everywhere. Right.
It's basically, hey, look at me, give me a beer, or give me a like, or something like that. As far as trolling goes, that's not the worst it could be.
All right, now that you guys threw me under the bus. All right.
No, but you're doing
I'm just like, saying, all mods are
doing an amazing job. Hey,
I delete the Marlon Mack comments now. I don't ban people. I just delete the comments. You got to delete them.
Josh, I will say, neither one of us mentioned you. You were the one who said, why are you both looking at me?
I'm just saying.
No. Because think about what it does, though. It brings joy to people.
It does. And they not moderators.
Not moderators. Or people who are trying to get you know, like an ADP rank out of a chat or something like that, which is probably not the right place to look anyways. There's the threaded comments where people can go in for a lot more like smaller group in-depth discussions when you want to talk about teams, trades, players, matchups, that kind of stuff. But what the alert is it's a place for people to congregate and feel part of something bigger, like a community of sports fans where you can jump in and have a lot of people have that rush, that like emotion of something happening, and I was present the moment it happened, and there's a lot of other people reacting to it. And I think that's special. And so when somebody's typing in an app, even the Marlon Mack comment, that is high barrier. Like, most apps have zero participation because people don't even want to post anything. And the reason is because they put up such a high barrier to quality in terms of what you post that people are intimidated. And
like Reddit?
So then it's hard to actually participate. But for sports, all of us have pent up emotions that we want to like let out. And just to be a part of that, as small as it is, whether it's a spam of a beer button or an emoji or a smile or a Marlon Mack comment, made me feel like I was part of something that day. and connected with a lot of other people. So like, I don't think of that as trolling. I think of that as like just fan engagement. But trolling is when somebody comes in and starts like, you know, really, really trying to, you know, attack people.
Right. Right. Let's move on though, because we could talk about this with Livy all day long. Northwest Broso says, could we, I thought this was a good idea, maybe have a way to see league settings without having to DM or join the league. So maybe a way for commissioners to just share the settings to a thread.
Good idea. We'll have to run that by the team and figure out how we would build that. One way to do it now is just to screenshot it and send the link, but obviously there's other ways to share it directly, but yes.
Right. About Tree Fitty says he would love to see an all play format instead of just head to head. I would think that might be lower on the priority list. But what, any ideas there? Any thoughts?
I haven't heard a lot of requests for that yet.
Okay.
So that would probably be a little bit lower on the list.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Dixie Normus wants to be able to post pictures in threads. And I don't think someone with the name Dixie Normus should be allowed to do it.
I don't know. What would Marlon Mack think?
That's his second band. Let me ask. That's his second band.
I think ultimately we're probably going to allow it in group chats, but not in public threads.
I like it.
I like that. There we go.
Coach Smith won. Are we getting auctions next season?
We're working towards it. It's hard to say whether or not it'll be like ready in this season. It just takes a long time to build a good auction format. Like, we don't want to roll in something that's half complete just for the sake of saying it's done.
Right.
And then have folks have a bad experience on the platform. And so there's
you want it to be quality.
Yeah. I mean, there's active development and we're putting a lot of thought into it. And similar to what we did with our snake draft, it'll have its sleeper twist on it. It'll be something that's fresh and new that keeps the intent of the auction draft pure, but offers a fun new experience. And so that just takes time to get right.
GVina9 says adding a best ball league mode would be awesome.
That probably won't happen in the near future. Because I think best ball, the problem with a best ball product is it's not truly social. If you think about how it works is you draft your lineup and then you set it and you forget it. And so it doesn't bring you closer to your friends over the course of the season.
Fantasy at that point. The whole beauty is to set it every day watch every day, you know?
Yeah. The beauty of season long leagues and why they're so special is that every week you have a reason to go talk to a friend about a trade or to make fun of them about a start sit decision.
Or
talk about an injury that decimated their team or like a trade that helped yours. And with best ball, you have a day or like an hour of excitement around the draft and then nothing.
Like
the rest of the season. And so that's not really in the spirit of our product and what we're trying to build. There are other platforms that are better equipped to do that.
Super Mega Toast, he brought up the one big trade block that has everyone's players on it that you already alluded to that being on your priority list. And the last one I thought is something that you don't really think about until you encounter it in the draft. Zuby1212 says an auto draft feature where you can set a team to auto draft each pick so you don't have to wait for their time limit to run out or have the commissioner like force auto each one.
Yeah, so that one's hard for us to implement because if you think about the cases that we have to account for whenever we build a feature, it's not just like people not present, it's also like if their Wi-Fi times out or they have like connection issues and they get booted temporarily. And so whenever you build this type of an engine, it needs to be able to recognize like the intent of that user to start the auto draft process. And
well, so I think he was more like, hey, I'm going to be gone for 2 weeks. Just let my team auto draft. So the commissioner could say, this person is going to auto.
Yeah.
I mean, right now you could technically manually just auto pick that guy and pick the best available.
Yeah, but without having to have the commissioner auto each pick for him is what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's what his intent with this question is.
Yeah, I could see that being a useful feature. It just doesn't happen a lot on our platform because ultimately, like, this is also why we don't do public leagues is that most of the leagues that we offer are really centered around that friend experience where people are actually wanting to be there for the live draft experience. That's why we built the draft board to be able to be cast onto a big screen TV. It's for the party. that you guys host. And having an auto draft feature kind of defeats the purpose of that. I know it's like, it's helpful for certain cases, but they tend to be a little bit more on the fringe, in terms of the use cases. Although, like, I don't know, I have to go back to my team and think about how we would execute that, because there are challenges with it. Anything you build has the right, like, has the opportunity to be abused. So there have been cases where we've built features and the intent was to make it easier for users, and then a commissioner will go abuse it. And then now we've got like support tickets coming in saying, hey, this guy put me on auto draft and I don't want to be on auto draft. And I'm like, well, we can't really dive into your league and help you fix that. Cause
right.
And so like anything you do on the internet, you have to think about like the 10 different ways it could be used, unfortunately, before we roll a product out.
And that's something you can encounter with the allowing pictures and GIFs.
Oh, correct. That's
because that, correct. That got abused a little bit.
I mean, we had it. Remember, we had the ability to do that. And then it was just like dilly-dilly, like memes.
Right. Another thing I should say.
Dilly-dilly and chicken parm were also not that big of a deal. No. But from an analyst perspective, from the moderator perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. From my perspective, you guys
I see both perspectives. But that's why a lot of feature development just takes a 360 degree view, and we want to make sure that we take our time to do it right so that people don't get taken advantage of and it doesn't create an adverse effect on what we intended it to do in the first place.
Well, and just the fact that you are so responsive to everything that, you know, all the emails, the support tickets, or just things people are requesting, you're taking into consideration. You know, that's other platforms don't listen to each individual
user.
They
want to open it. They want to read it.
Yeah. Nope. And you know what the secret of it is the, we're supporting over 1 million users on the platform with 2 dedicated customer success folks on our team. So big shout out to Jeannie and Kevin, who are answering everybody's questions. And then like Weishi, myself, Ken, Henry, everybody chips in. We jump in and we did hundreds, if not thousands, of customer success tickets and like emails and questions every single day during the season.
Wow.
And it really like this is stuff that goes behind the scenes of building a product that people don't really recognize, but it's once we're done developing during the day, we go in at night and sometimes during the day when we have, you know, breaks, and we'll jump in and we'll hammer through as a team, you know, 50 at a time. And the goal is to try to have a strong pulse on what our users and our like ultimately what sports fans want, and to build that experience for them. And so we're lucky to have the support of the mods and the analysts to help us really kind of manage the front facing part of the app and the experience for users, so that it frees up time for us to really address these, you know, issues related to engineering and onboarding and feature requests, so that we continue to level the product up. And it's also awesome because like, we really appreciate the support of the community. The users on the platform are our biggest champions, setting up leagues, inviting their friends on social, sharing these matchups, and really telling people the story about why Sleeper is the place to play your leagues. That helps us, give us motivation to do this every single day. Like, I've not rested. I don't think any of us have had a day off. Really, not a day off for like 5 years.
Like, well, you look great.
Thank you.
You don't look a day over 34.
Thanks.
All right. Well, Nan, I think that's all we had for you. Any special feature in particular that you're excited for? One last final thing you're pumped for this season for the app?
I'm just tremendously excited to offer multiple sports on the platform for the first time in our history this year, and to continue to build on that. So I just encourage everybody to try out the different sports on the platform. We're going to be offering our unique spin on it. And then with football, we're going to continue to deepen it. We're going to do trade block. We're going to do trade counters. We're eventually going to get to like all of the features that people want. And the goal is to level up every single day and not be static, because the moment you get static is when you lose your way. And just our promise to the users is that we'll continue to look forward and up and to the right and how we can create a better experience.
Yeah. All right. Well, that is going to be it for the show. Nan, thank you so much for joining me. Why don't you, in case people haven't figured out already, they can find Sleeper at Sleeper if you Googled the app. But where can people also follow and support Sleeper?
Yeah, so follow our social media. We're doing more there with product announcements, as well as like feature updates and stuff like that. We're at Play Sleeper on Instagram and Sleeper HQ on Twitter. And then me, I'm in the app as Tober Peels, and that's just Sleeperbot backwards.
Yep. Yeah, I think don't think a lot of people understand that. That's just flip around.
Yep.
All right. Josh, as otherwise known as Livy or Levy, thank you so much for joining me. Nan, thanks for your time. We really appreciated this. We will talk to you next year, I'm assuming. Next time you come on the Sleeper Wire show. Everybody else, thanks for tuning in. We'll catch you guys later.
It's a pleasure. Thanks, guys.